Just how much does Facebook's founder like China? From APM in Washington, I'm David Gura, in for David Brancaccio, and this is what's trending across social media today in China. That is Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook. Yesterday, he delivered a 30-minute speech in Mandarin at Tsinghua University. And joining us now to talk about the significance of that appearance is Marketplace's Rob Schmitz on the line from Shanghai. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, David.
Well, the big question first here is, how's Zuck's Chinese?
Well, you know, Chinese is a very difficult language to master. You know, I speak from experience here. Zuckerberg himself told his Chinese audience that his Chinese was terrible. He was employing some very culturally appropriate false modesty there. But, you know, it wasn't terrible. But let's just say there's a lot of room for improvement. But of course, this appearance is not about his language ability.
Yeah, he set his eye on China and China as a market, I imagine, for a long time.
Exactly. You know, since 2009, Facebook has been blocked inside of China. You can't access it without a VPN that helps you get over the country's so-called Great Firewall. And for a man who wants to connect the world, you know, not having access to a fifth of humanity is sort of a problem. I think at this point, if Facebook wanted access to China, it would have to offer some sort of localized, censored version that would be cut off from the rest of the world. But, you know, you got to give Zuckerberg credit for laying his pride on the line like this. You know, in the world of business, if you're going to stand any chance with the Chinese, you have to show that you're willing to invest in the Chinese culture, in the Chinese language. And no matter how messy his speech was in Chinese, Zuckerberg is certainly doing all of that. And the Chinese are giving him big points for that effort.
Marketplace's Rob Schmitz in Shanghai. Rob, thanks very much.
Thanks, David.
Southwest Airlines is expected to release third quarter earnings in a few minutes. The company has gone from a regional discount carrier to a big national airline pretty quickly. That's led to some growing pains, as Marketplace's Dan Weissman reports.
In August 2013, Southwest tried to make some extra money by adding flights without adding new planes. The tighter schedule did not work. Lots of delays. But putting in a new schedule took months because of the airline's antiquated reservation system. Here's Brett Snyder, who runs the site crankyflyer.com.
They would have had to manually rebook every person. And so they said, well, this isn't really feasible.
They had to delay the new, less aggressive schedule till a time when there weren't too many tickets already booked, August of this year. Meanwhile, they kept running late. Vinay Bhaskara is a senior business analyst for Airways News. He says Southwest is still learning how to be a major airline.
They haven't been this kind of airline for a very long time. It's only been about 7 years. United, Delta, American have been that airline for 30, 40 years.
But he says Southwest has strengths that'll let it keep customers while it sorts things out, like nonstop flights to mid-sized cities that don't get love from other big airlines. And, for now, no fees for the first two checked bags. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. In pre-market trading, Southwest is down 1.58%. The 100 share index in London is down about 0.75%. It's at 6,350. The DAX down 0.11% at 8,930. Dow futures, S&P futures, and NASDAQ futures are all trading down. Microsoft has had three CEOs since it was founded, Bill Gates, Steve Ballmer, and now Satya Nadella, who's been on the job for 8 months. And as Bethany McLean writes in this month's Vanity Fair magazine, this is a pivotal moment for the company and its leadership as it shifts focus to cloud computing and mobile devices. Hey there, Bethany.
Hi, David. How are you?
Good, thanks. So first of all, this is a big company. It has 100,000 plus employees. It's still profitable. It has a lot of cash on hand. And yet you write, running this company is maybe the toughest job in business. Why is that?
I think it's very difficult. It's the innovator's dilemma. If you have products that constitute the bulk of your profitability and from which you're making a fortune, but securing your place in the future requires moving away from those products, well, that's very hard to do. So it's really unclear what the future holds.
There's so much interest and fascination with Google's culture, Facebook's workplace culture. Does the same fascination exist for Microsoft? Does it have a workplace culture like those newer companies?
Well, it certainly did. Microsoft had a culture that was famously difficult, famously confrontational, in your face. That method of management that seemed to work so well when Microsoft was young and small made it a very brutal and bureaucratic place to work as Microsoft got bigger. And it wasn't as okay if you didn't know Ballmer and Gates personally well enough to understand the upside instead of just seeing the downside.
Your article is accompanied by this photograph by Annie Leibovitz of both Bill Gates and Satya Nadella. You spoke to them both when they were in the same room with one another. What's the dynamic like between them?
The dynamic is really interesting. You can tell that Gates is trying hard to let Nadella take the front seat, but you can also tell that that doesn't come naturally to either of them. And it gets to the core question about Microsoft going forward, which is who is really running this company. When Bill Gates is going to be in a meeting, everybody does their best work. So you can view him as kind of an inspiration, a guiding force. There's something about having the founder in the room that makes a big difference. On the other hand, if nobody knows who they report to, and if people think, well, do I have to please Gates or do I have to please Nadella? Does that structure at the top end up being disabling rather than enabling?
Bethany McLean's piece on Bill Gates, Steve Ballmer, and Satya Nadella is in Vanity Fair's November issue. Bethany, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Finally, Reynolds American, which makes Camel cigarettes, has decided to ban smoking in its offices. A spokesman says we're just better aligning our tobacco use policies with the realities of what you're seeing in society today. I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.